Okay, so this morning, simply stated, Mary, seems like the appropriate day to talk about Mary. And we read, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary, the soul open and receptive to receive, is Christ's consciousness. In the statement, Mary being the soul open and receptive to receive Christ's consciousness, there are three important words here: open, receptive, and receive. Metaphysically, the soul of Mary represents the soul that magnifies the Lord daily in the temple within and through its devotions, prepares itself for the higher life, Christ consciousness or super consciousness. Mary signifies the divine motherhood of love and intuition. The coming of the Christ body into activity is the result of an exalted idea sown in the mind and matured by the soul, Mary. The soul is devout and expectant. Our imagination brings forth the ability to make manifest our highest potentials. It, the soul, believes in the miraculous as a possibility. It moves beyond into a consciousness where terms like phenomenon and even miracles are not needed. For divine miraculous truth is revealed as the inner workings of all that is, God omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. And it is good. Often we get lost into words like phenomenon and miracle, and it creates a kind of standoffish acceptance. Well, it's a miracle. Miracles come around once in a lifetime. But isn't life itself a miracle? Isn't it an expressed miracle? The fact that we are conscious, that we can think and feel, have our being, have emotion, be intelligent, be constructive, be creative. Isn't that a miracle? Isn't the wisdom of creation a miracle? And are we not designed in that image? The miracle is here and now. The miracle is always in expression. Mary expected the birth of the Messiah, of Jesus, in accordance to her faith and love for God. She was receptive to the promise of the Spirit of light. And that was the angel that came upon her, the Spirit of light, the uppermost, highest awareness and consciousness, in its most divine and angelic truth. It formed in her mind the seed that quickened and in turn attracted the attention of the outer consciousness in what is called the birth of Christ. Mary was open, receptive, and willing to receive. All three of these phases must take place in order for our imagination to form in truth and manifest into fruition. If we are receptive, that's good. But what about the willingness? And what about the ability to receive? You see, there is a difference between all this. I can be receptive to your gift and still not be willing to receive it. I can tuck it under the bed and leave it there. Oh, thank you, and I won't look at it. I have to have the willingness to do more than just to receive the gift. I have to become receptive to it. When we believe in what truth is, then we can be two entirely different states of consciousness. Often it requires a rebuilding of our beliefs and a consistent relearning of old habits. Unlearning of old habits. That's our beliefs and a consistent unlearning of old habits or old beliefs. I've said this many a time, but when I was studying with Lucy, she would say, "Craig, this is going to be more about unlearning than learning." Because this learning stuff that I've picked up along the way is so deeply ingrained that it can take, the residue is going to take a long time to completely clear out. And if I don't pay attention to that, it will be oh so quick to grow back in. You know? As it is said, very wisely said, that this day is my day of doing the work I must do. This is my day of maintaining my spiritual conditioning. Without it, I'm throwing myself into harm's way. And what will be. And I can allow myself just to be dragged along by that and not take that power within to realize I don't have to be dragged along by anything. To be open requires a watchful eye of oneself. It is so easy to slip out of that goodness and refer back to the self-will without even realizing it. In quoting Dr. Irvin Seal, the founder of Quimby Church here, but Lucy took it over and brought it here to see caucus, but he got it up and running. Power is available to us, as available as electricity and air. We have to lay hold upon it that is our work. Right thinking or mental treatment or prayer ought not to be an effort to make something happen, but rather an effort to know and accept the fact that all you can ever want has already happened. It is already knowing that it has come to be. For it is God that works through us. And all God is has already been. And all that God is will ever be. God can never become more or less. I cannot turn to God and say, I want more of you, God. I can turn to God and say, please help me to be more conscious of you. But God is not something that is divvied out in portions. God is either omnipresent or God is not. Either Jesus was telling us the truth or he was not. It comes down to that. There's no wishy-washy here. There's no maybe this, maybe that. Now I can go through life going maybe this and maybe that, and that will be my expression and that will be my experience. And those will be how the law of expression and the law of attraction will work in my life. Maybe this, maybe that. Maybe yes, maybe no. Or I can come to see that this wisdom has been so placed since the creation of time that, first of all, there's nothing new about it. We find it in the oldest readings. Not in our scripture, we find it in the Upanishads, from, I believe, some of the oldest scripture we have in history from 6,000 years ago. There's nothing new. We're not this amazing new superhuman race of the 21st century that's becoming aware of something that no one else knew. In many ways, we're pulling further and further away from it. We're constantly losing ourselves into a lot of today's technology, a lot of ways to escape from things. H.P. Jeffrey discussed about this wonderful chapter on primitive man and how in many ways primitive man was more in oneship with our Creator than today's present human race. Because back then they didn't have phone calls, you know, phones and televisions and music to listen to and cell phones and games to play and all this stuff, or even books to read if you go back far enough. They didn't have any of that to take their mind off of anything. They were out living in the moment. How do I live today? How do I find food? How do I sleep? How do I survive? And so they turned deeper into a strong faith and belief that they would be guided. But today we can so easily just shut down from it, escape from it, close off from it. And every once in a while maybe we get a sharp pinch in our inside our being going, oh, what is life? Where am I? What am I doing? What is all this? Oh. And then, well, let me see. Forgot all about it. I'm going to go watch some TV. You know, watch some reruns. Man, I'm not going to think about that little pinch I had before that shook me up. But there was a time we didn't have that. We had to like stay conscious of it. And it's not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. If we feel lost and there's no answers, then that's what we're going to have. It's going to be a horrible experience. But when faith, which I have come to learn, is the activity that God is already working within us, then I know it's okay to have these big scary thoughts. But they don't, I don't really have scary thoughts so much anymore. But I used to. You know. It's a beautiful thing. You know, the more I understand this and the more I practice it, the more I have my being and I stay centered in a more harmonious state of mind. I was just thinking recently, I've come back to this, something I have practiced as a part of meditation. It's something from Buddha where it talks about, you want to be a mountain? You can, but first you have to realize that the mountain is not a mountain. Then you can become a mountain. And that's not easy to talk about, but it's or even to explain, but it's something to meditate on. I have to do it with trees and things. It's like, oh, look at that beautiful tree. I want to be that tree. And then I have to realize that tree's not a tree. And then I can become like the tree. I was just doing that the other day while I was waiting for the bus to go over to New York. I thought, oh, I'll take out my cell phone. I said, now why not meditate on that tree? Realizing it's not a tree. And then I can become like the tree. So what does the tree have? It has its being. It has its essence of being a perfect seed wisdom created by God. It sits there just looking beautifully with the wind blowing against it and the way the light's shining through the beautiful fresh leaves and the shadows that are created from the light hitting through it. It sits there in this perfect being of grace and wellness. So see, it's much more than just a tree. It is God's perfect seed and expression as a tree. It is the wisdom of all that's good. That's pretty crazy, maybe pretty deep. I pass it on. Can I say, give it a try. And don't give up on it if it doesn't work the first 100 times. Trust me. You know. Anyway, faith. As I said, is the realization that the activity of God is already at work within you. The realization is the Christ consciousness, awareness, awakened. The point is to remain open-minded to the receptivity of truth. When we become more aware of the obstacles of our thinking that blocks or filters the radiant goodness of the cosmic divine intelligence, the more receptive we become to the perfect order of goodness, which is already expressing through each and every one of us. All the time, whether I'm aware of it or not. As Mother Mary practiced and demonstrated in action, her soul open and receptive to receive. And this is what is also known as the song of Mary's faith in God through Christ's mind. She was already in perfect order in order to even have the baby Jesus within her. If she was not who she was, this would have never come to be. At least not with her. You see, there's a lot at work here. There's a lot at work that even someone of a great consciousness of Christ's mind, as Jesus was, could even come to be on this earth. You see, there is a science to all this. And it's all God's science. And so therefore, it's all perfect principles. And the more we become conscious of these principles, this science, and not look at it as just like, well, here's a little bit of history, the 7 days of creation. And we start to realize this is actually a wonderful treasure map, a blueprint, a schematic of how we can live and be. Wow, it starts really having this beautiful mirrored imagery of God's being. We stop looking at it as history and start looking at it as precious treasure given to us to learn from and live by and practice and have our faith in. From the book Breathing Underwater, which is a book we're now looking at the men's group on Wednesday afternoon, there's a point that is made by the author. He says it's, and I'm paraphrasing to a certain extent, it's not about perfectly avoiding sin, it is about the struggle itself. The wisdom gained from the imperfection, that is the work that brings the harmony. It's not the perfect mood or the perfect moral victory or its so-called superiority, of which there's none of that in this way of living. It is the luminosity of awareness and compassion for the world. That is the victory. To experience that luminosity, to express it, to have it, to see it, to be aware of it, to understand the compassion that comes through from it. That's not like what we normally see as a victory. You know, someone standing on top of the hill going, yeah, all right, I'm victorious, winner, loser. You know, it's none of that. That's just dense animalistic mentality. And it's fun, too. You know, sports and things. Don't get me wrong. I'm not slamming it. But I am saying that to have a higher consciousness in this, it is truly about the compassion and the love. Becoming more and more aware of it. Such as Mary lived it. And through her, there's the great teaching. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. See, it magnifies. And that's the beauty of, for me, that's the beauty of the story of Mary. Her purpose. And we all have that within us. To have that Christ expression. To evolve in it. To learn as we move along. If you join me in a prayer, we give thanks for all that is. For all that is in creation is perfect, and it is ours to work with, to learn from, to grow in. We are allowed to make our mistakes. We are allowed to have our learning. We are allowed to discover our decisions. We are abundantly supplied in this absolute truth. Let us be receptive to it. Let us have the willingness to receive it. And once we can do that, we can just freely give it away. Amen.